Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. When we think of our relationship with God, we often think of our desire to be with Him. And we often forget that the Bible really teaches that God's desire is to dwell with us. God's desire is to dwell with His people. The basic restoration of God's plan is eternal, unbroken fellowship with His people. The Bible makes it clear that God longs to dwell with His people. It's not a side note or some unimportant issue, but from the Garden of Eden in Genesis to the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation, the Lord continually moves towards us. God's desire is to be close to live among us, and to restore what was lost through sin. The Lord uses the word dwell with. We need to understand that in modern terms, in today's language, dwelling with simply means having a relationship and fellowship with Him. In the beginning of the Bible, we can see that God dwelt with Adam and Eve. They knew the Lord in a personal way. They walked with Him. They talked with Him. And even after they sinned, they were trying to hide from God. But God was there waiting for them to come to Him. Genesis 3:8 says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden and in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." That's at the beginning of the Bible. Then at the very end of the Bible, we see the conclusion to the story of redemption and restoration of fellowship. Revelation 21:3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people." God Himself will be with them and be their God. What a beautiful picture of the tabernacle of God's dwelling place being in His people. Let me just interrupt for a moment and just to remind everyone who might be listening or watching or reading that we have literally thousands of downloads which are available free. You don't have to register. You don't have to sign up. But they're download for free, and therefore you're used to use for your personal growth or to use in your ministry or to help in preparation of Bible studies or preaching and teaching. And so I encourage you to go to PastorVic.com or PastorVicsNuggets.com. Either way, we'll get you to our website to all this free information. All right, let's get back to the message. The key to understanding God's plan of redemption and fellowship with the Lord is understanding what faith really means. God offers His forgiveness of sin and a place in heaven as a gift. This gift is called grace. It's a free gift. However, we must, by faith, accept the gift and allow Him to transform us to become more and more like Jesus. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Now, what does the writer of Hebrews mean when, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God? Well, what is faith? Faith means believing in things we can't see yet. Hebrews 11:1 gives us our definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's like trusting that the sun will come up tomorrow, even though it's still night. Faith gives us spiritual eyes to see the spirit realm. Abraham showed strong faith when God promised him a vast family, even though he and his wife Sarah were barren. They were childless, and they were very old. Abraham believed God would keep His promise, and that's how we have to be. And he was right. God gave Abraham and Sarah a son by the name of Isaac, when he was about 100 years old. Now, this kind of trust is what God wants from us. This kind of trust is not based on an emotion or a feeling. It's based on choosing, making a decision to believe God's word. And once we've made that decision, We must act or perform according to that decision. You know, a phrase I often use in my life is the following: I don't want to be a legend in my own mind. This means that in my mind, I may have noble and courageous thoughts, but if I don't do what God has called me to do, I let God down, I let myself down, and I let down those who are around me. Walking by faith produces righteousness in us. In other words, a right relationship with God. This is what God is looking for. Faith is the key to being close to God. For example, again in the Bible, we see Abraham trusted God so much that God said he was righteous, which means he was living the right way, or being obedient to the Lord. Listen to what Romans says in chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." So when we believe what God has said and act on it, we are called righteous. We are being righteous. Now see what God saw in Abraham. We see in Romans 4, beginning in verse 19. And what God saw was this, and it says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead," speaking about Abraham, "because he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was also able to perform." You see, Abraham believed what God said, even when it seemed impossible. And because of his faith, because of his steadfastness, God blessed him. And so we have to decide that since we have a God for whom nothing is impossible, and we belong to him, therefore nothing is impossible for us if God has called us to it. You see, the Lord always equips those whom he calls. Now, let's get back to Hebrews 11:6 and look at the second part of the verse. And let me read the verse again. "But without faith is it impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is," now here we go, "he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, what did the writer of Hebrews mean when, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him"? Remember, we know that God wants to dwell with us and to have fellowship with us. It's clear that the Lord makes the first move towards us. It's equally clear that the Lord wants us to make a move towards him. This is not just a one-time desire for God. For instance, when we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But it's a careful, determined, and attentive desire to pursue a relationship with him. For God is the rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him, pursue him. The Lord always makes the first move. And we can see that as we examine how the Lord God demonstrated his desire for fellowship and relationship with his people throughout the Bible. And we also have to pay close attention to the work of the Holy Spirit in this process. Let's take a look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament, we know about the presence of God in the pillar of fire and the cloud, and then also the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle and later in the temple. In the book of Exodus, we see that God led the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage by guiding them through the path of escape. His presence, his Holy Spirit, was present with them as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. What an incredible journey that must have been, to follow by faith that the Lord was with his people, demonstrated by the cloud and the fire. But there eventually came a time when the Lord wanted to be among his people in the camp, not just simply leading them, but within the camp. And to accomplish that, he instructed the people to build a tabernacle, which was basically a movable tent where his presence would be. Later, the Lord would direct the people to build a permanent temple or tabernacle, and of course, that tabernacle became known as the temple. But here, look at Exodus 25, verse 8. The Lord said, "Let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." See, he wants to dwell among us, within us. Up to this point, the Lord appeared as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. Now he wanted a closer relationship. The tabernacle was not just a portable building. The tabernacle was a visible sign that God was dwelling among his people. His presence, symbolized by the cloud and the fire, went with Israel wherever they traveled. In Exodus 40, beginning in verse 34, it tells us that the pillar of fire was over the tabernacle at night, and the cloud was over the tabernacle in the day. And if the cloud did not move, neither did the people. And to dwell with meant that God wasn't distant. He was sharing life, guiding, protecting, making covenant, fellowship with them in their daily journey. Exodus 31, beginning in verse 5, demonstrates another important concept or teaching for us. And this is what it says. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah." Here he said, verse 3, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God," the Holy Spirit, "in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, and bronze, in cutting jewels for settings, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship." Here's the lesson. He anointed this man and these people who were to build the tabernacle according to God's plan. Here's the lesson. Only the Holy Spirit of God can enable or empower people to build the tabernacle of God, to build the place where the Holy Spirit will dwell, to build a place where the presence of God will reside. Now, in the New Testament, we are the temple. You are the temple of God. He lives in you. He lives in us. And we need to let the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that built a tabernacle, that built a temple, build his dwelling place in our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" You see, the apostle is bringing to the attention of the Corinthian believers that they have the Holy Spirit, the helper, living within. And sometimes you and I, we need to be reminded, or we need to remind ourselves, that the Holy Spirit lives within us. As New Testament or New Covenant believers, God doesn't just live among his people, but he lives within them. Every believer of Jesus Christ has the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And that word indwelling simply means God sharing our lives, continuously empowering, comforting, correcting, and guiding us from within. It's a permanent, intimate presence. Here, I want to bring three scriptures for you to think about and to meditate on. And the first one is in Matthew 1:23. And it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, the word Emmanuel translated simply means God with us. And of course, we're speaking of Jesus. And Matthew was recalling a messianic prophecy from the book of Isaiah. Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us. Then take a look at John 1:14. And it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Of course, we recognize this is speaking about Jesus. Jesus shared his meals. He traveled. He taught. He wept with his disciples. Dwelling here meant sharing real life together. Not a quick visit, but living side by side. The disciples experienced God's presence in the ordinary rhythms of life because he dwelt with them in person. But Jesus says in John 10, beginning in verse 27, "My sheep," that's us, "hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." That's our assurance. Nothing can snatch us out of the hands of Jesus. Today, God doesn't just live among his people, but within them. Dwelling with here means God shares our life, continuously empowering, comforting, correcting, and guiding us from the inside out. It's a permanent, intimate presence. Jesus said in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16, and he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." We know that's the Holy Spirit. "That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." That was the promise that Jesus made. And when Jesus ascended to heaven in the book of Acts, we know that the Holy Spirit was released into the church as well. Now, I know it's hard sometimes to think of practical ways to grow in our awareness of God dwelling in us. And so the first thing I would recommend is that you just have to go all in with Jesus. You can't go halfway. And here are some thoughts about learning how to experience the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that will transform. The first thing is, it may be obvious, but that is, if you haven't been water baptized, you listen, Jesus said you need to be water baptized. I know you can come up with all kinds of excuses not to be water baptized, but you need to be water baptized. Whether you do it in a lake or in the ocean or in a pond, or I've even heard of people being baptized in the bathtub, but you need to be baptized. It is a step of obedience, and it is a step of faith, because Jesus said, do it. The second thing I would encourage you to do is to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what Acts is all about. The book of Acts is about the release of the Holy Spirit in the church. We are the church. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as a promise. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a step that we take in order to say, yes, I agree, and I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as well as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, are available to me in my life. And then I want you to think about worship during church services. During church, and obviously I encourage you to go to church, but don't be a spectator, be a participator. I know I've met people who said, well, I don't like the music, I don't like the way they sing, I don't like the instruments. But listen, I have news for you. That worship is not for you. That worship is to our Lord God. We need to enter in and worship and not look at church as being something for entertainment. This is our place to experience the presence of God. And then, of course, I've got these numbered, and then number four is you need to read the Bible. Listen, there's no way you can experience the fullness of what God has for you until you start reading the Bible. And you might say it's too difficult, you might say it's too hard, but the Lord will give you eyes to see what he wants you to see. And I always encourage people to start in the Gospel of John. Then from John, you go to the book of Acts, and then you go into Romans and get just to the end of the Bible. And then come back and read the other Gospels, and then come back and read the Old Testament. But the point is, our covenant, our relationship, our new covenant is in the New Testament. And I know that most people like music. Well, I would say change your taste for music and make sure you're listening to Christian music, music that is uplifting and encouraging and glorifies the Lord. And listen, there's a style for every type of music interest. There's an uptick and an upsurge of Christian radio, Christian TV, streaming. You know, there's all different kinds of ways to engage with understanding and experiencing God's presence. One important way to get involved and to jump in, so to speak, is to join a Bible study. Bible studies are so important, because in a Bible study, you can ask questions, and it's those questions that cause growth and maturity. And finally, you need to get involved with your church, and you need to get involved with church activities. Make sure you find opportunities to volunteer. These are just some practical ideas. In practical terms, dwelling with God means inviting his presence into everyday life. like eating with him in gratitude, saying grace, walking with him in prayer, working with his guidance, and resting in his peace. Just as Israel lived with God in their camp, and the disciples lived daily life with Jesus, we are called to live each moment aware that he is right here with us by virtue of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And finally, don't forget Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God always keeps his promises. We just need to learn how to, remember, walk by faith and not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7. I hope this word has been an encouragement to you and helps you understand how important trusting God is in experiencing his presence. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, regardless of what anyone may say, God's Holy Spirit lives in you. You have access to the Father. You have access to the throne, and you can go to him at any time. Heavenly Father, just bless every listener. Lord, I just encourage them to walk in the fullness that you have for them. Lord, that they might experience the joy. They might experience the peace, the inner peace that comes with a relationship with you, knowing that not only do we desire to be with you, but your desire is to be with us. Thank you. See you the next time. In Jesus' name. Unless otherwise noted, all scripture quotations are from the New King James Version of the Bible. Copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved.